Hello and welcome to the AusMed Handover podcast. My name is Darren Wake, and in this episode, I'm going to tell you how to make the profession of nursing disappear forever. Oh, and it's already happening.
We need to cut back to the essentials, Johnson. We really need to improve healthcare by getting rid of the superfluous, like
free newspapers.
Yes, free newspapers.
Free parking.
Yes, free parking. We install meters.
Coffee, tea, and biscuits.
Yep, that can go.
Hot breakfast.
Yes, cornflakes will do. What else, Johnson?
Nurses.
Of course, obvious. Let's get rid of the nurses.
That's funny, isn't it? Well, I thought so, but what's really scary to me is that's pretty much taken verbatim from a senior healthcare management meeting I went to about 10 years ago in a country that shall not be named, in a city that will forever be anonymous. During this meeting, which was attended by a whole swathe of high-level healthcare managers, nurses, doctors, financial operators, and a lot of CEOs, someone actually delivered a hypothetical that may well have been called How to Get Rid of Nurses, which essentially laid out a fictitious process to narrow and reduce, but not entirely eliminate, the presence of registered nurses in their particular healthcare facility. Now, there was no suggestion at the time that there was a concrete plan to get this underway. It would have been industrial suicide to enact what the presenter was suggesting. It was more of an intellectual come financial thought experiment on reducing costs by reallocating human resources. But what has interested me over the ensuing years since that workshop is that many of the core aspects of the proposal seem to actually be subtly and very certainly creeping into the healthcare services on a global scale. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I'm not saying that there's an agenda out there to extinguish the nursing profession, but what I am definitely saying is that there is an active global agenda to rationalise healthcare, and changing the role nurses have to play within healthcare is very much on the cards. Again, this isn't a conspiracy I'm talking about. Actually having an overt agenda to remove nurses from the healthcare system would be akin to pulling a pin out of a hand grenade and waiting to see what happened. There's no Illuminati-like elite out there that has designs on the position nurses hold in the healthcare system, but rather it's a kind of unconscious management global zeitgeist. A very large bunch of healthcare managers and bean counters are acting independently and very probably unknowingly to collectively threaten the identity and consequently the existence of the nursing profession. The only analogy I can really give is that it's kind of like 1,000 children all playing in the same yard independently and all being unaware of each other, each one just taking a single brick from the foundation of a very large Lego house and each thinking, one brick, what would that matter to anyone else? Or to the house itself for that matter? Aren't there thousands of bricks in these foundations? But brick by brick, things are changing, and probably not in a good way, if you get what I mean. But let's get back to the root cause before we discuss how this is happening. The first question we should ask is why? What reason would the senior movers and shakers of the healthcare system have to degrade the contribution that nurses make to the healthcare service? Money. It all revolves around cash, budgets, and profits. And as we shall see, it's to a lesser degree about power. Nurses are a highly trained commodity and as such are expensive, whether you think you are well paid or not. With on-costs such as insurance, leave replacement, and shift loading, the average full-time working shift nurse in Australia costs their employer around about $100,000 a year. Now that's $1 million for every 10 FTE, and if your ward employs 30 FTE nurses, that's $3 million a year spent on wages. That's bound to be a tempting target for any cash-conscious financial operating officer. These days, economic rationalisation is the catchphrase and driving agenda for many healthcare facilities. And once they have looked to save money by changing the brand of toilet paper they buy, any employer will, sooner or later, ask themselves whether they can deliver the same standard of care in their facility without using so many nurses. But that's not easy to do. It tends to upset the unions, and it's dreadful for public relations. Nurses have a very strong emotional and ethical relationship with their public, and you can't easily remove nurses from healthcare because of this. Polls in a number of countries have shown repeatedly that the public regards nursing as the ethical nexus of the healthcare system, far more trustworthy than doctors or anyone else for that matter. So no matter what form rationalisation takes, nurses have to remain. The public wouldn't tolerate otherwise. But from a managerial perspective, although they have to remain as part of the service, there is certainly an opportunity to reduce their number and consequently their power within the service. That's industrial power I'm talking about. So, if you were a healthcare manager and wanted to reduce the expense of your nurses' wages and reduce their power base, how would you go about it without upsetting anyone? Well, there is a subtle and very effective methodology you can employ, and it involves the following elements. Deconstructing the role of the nurse. Emphasising skills, but in a very narrow range. Change the meaning of the roles within the service. And outsourcing or redistributing responsibilities to cheaper human resources. I'll look at each of these in turn and see what the implications would be on the nursing profession. Deconstructing the role of the nurse. This involves breaking down the role of the nurse into its constituent parts. Generally, the more specialised the area within which nurses work, the easier this is to do. But essentially, we simply list all the things that nurses do as part of their daily job and separate them into their component parts. So patient care, at a very basic level, so please be kind to me, might be divided into hygiene, mobility and eating. Then, once we have that list, we can split off all the aspects of the role that, once separated from the whole, can be performed by a lesser qualified or equally qualified but cheaper or even unqualified staff, and we put these aside. Essentially, we remove these jobs from the scope of the nurse and take them out of their job description. We aren't concerned about combined tasks or holism, like assessing a patient's skin during a bed bath. We're only really interested in separating the parts from the whole. Emphasising skills, but in a very narrow range. In step number two, we take those aspects of the nurse's role that remain and we enrich, build on and focus these skills. By that, I mean that we, as managers, actually emphasise the importance and value of the depth of knowledge and expertise that is commonly held by nurses. But we keep it in a very narrow range. In this respect, we focus on those core areas of competency that are associated with the initial training and that every nurse undergoes, and that are unique to the profession. I think perhaps this is most commonly viewed by managers as the roles of assessment, planning, and to a greater or lesser degree, medication administration. So we would really emphasise these skills and talk a lot about elevating the nurse into a specialist role that exemplifies these skills in practice. We may even reward people who have this advanced level of expertise by, paradoxically, giving them more pay. But since we have liberated them of many of their lesser tasks, we don't really need to employ as many on the floor. Change the meaning of the role within the service. Now, in part three of this process, we work some semantic magic. We take all of those aspects of the nurse's role that we have split off that, independently, don't require formal registration or even training of any depth, and we cobble them together to create new jobs. Since the core elements that only a nurse is legislated to do are absent, we don't use the word nurse to describe any of these roles. If we did, we would imply that the role falls within the realm of nursing, that nurses have a claim on it, and it can only be done by a nurse. And we don't want that. We want something less qualified, because that means cheaper. What we are doing here is changing the power base and identity of the nurse. Once, we might have employed nurses in broad-reaching healthcare roles, where we could take advantage of their knowledge of patient care, nursing staff, logistics and so on. And they did things like manage human resources for a clinical area. We're talking about nurse unit managers, directors of nursing and so forth. But now we've created a situation where there's no specific requirement in the job description for many of these non-clinical positions for the incumbent to be a nurse, and no mention of a nurse in the title. Rather, we carefully craft job titles that specifically describe the role without any implication that a certain profession or having a certain qualification is a prerequisite to filling the role. We want the job title to be as generic as possible. We call these roles things like personal hygiene assistants, aged care facilitator, wound technician, pulmonary technician, continence champion, medication dispenser, and so forth. But in the meantime, we emphasise the value of nursing expertise, albeit now in a very narrow, highly qualified range, stripped of all its less technical aspects and many of its emotional components, even though nurses have, over perhaps the last millennia or so, worked out ways to efficiently incorporate these seemingly lesser tasks into their everyday practice in a way that is very much to the patient's benefit. So what we have done is take the nurse's role, stripped it down to the bare but very specifically qualified bones, and repackaged what we have stripped away into generic roles that make no mention of nursing and carefully avoided incorporating any element in their job description that might require some person who is formally registered. And so we've changed the name of a whole bunch of jobs that were once done as tasks by nurses. In one fell swoop, by deconstructing the role of the nurse and outsourcing the component parts of their job, we've reduced their power base and influence on the healthcare system and created a specialist role that, although it retains the name of the nurse, really no longer fulfills that broad clinical role that it once did. Outsourcing or redistributing responsibilities to a cheaper human resource. And now we can move on to step 4, which is to distribute these newly created generic jobs to non-qualified or cheaper or less qualified staff. Now let's not forget about our nurses. We've focused on their core competencies, at least the ones that we have to acknowledge, and promoted them. Our nurses now perform highly specialised expert roles, but since about 50% of their former job is now performed by non-nurses, we simply don't need to hire as many. Seemingly, a fiscal job well done, and we've reduced the power base of nurses as an added bonus. Imagine walking into a ward where the personal care and observations are performed by personal care assistants, wounds are tended by the wound care tech, discharge planning is done by a home care facilitator, and there in their office is the one nurse rostered on for the shift who acts in a kind of consultative role. Nurses are still part of the healthcare system, so the public is satisfied, their role is still very much visible, but their involvement in patient care is significantly diminished. I mentioned I wasn't a conspiracy theorist, that there was no grand master orchestrating the demise of the nurse's role, but what I have described here in this episode has happened in the past, and it's happening everywhere as we speak, in management, in clinical environments, and in education. In 1988 in Perth, Western Australia, nurses negotiated the introduction of a new EBA based on the primary nursing system. The management of several hospitals agreed to this move, but since it was a radical departure from the existing nursing model of care, insisted that all nursing management positions be rewritten, the incumbents spilled, and the jobs open to all applicants. It was assumed that the previous incumbents would be walk-ins to their old jobs, but management had rather sneakily removed all use of the word nurse from the job descriptions and subtly removed the requirement that any of the applicants be registered with the Nurses Board of Western Australia because there was no clinical component to the role. They had deconstructed these jobs to their bare human resource and financial elements. Given this, the job applicants completely suited a whole range of non-nursing applicants, especially those with business experience, and never you mind if you understand your nursing staff and skill mix, or what kind of disposables need to be ordered on the ward if there is a hospital-wide gastro outbreak. If you had experience with budgets and drawing up a roster, you were competitive in the recruitment process. The fact that any applicant was qualified as a registered nurse didn't even come into it because it wasn't part of the job description. Consequently, a lot of wards found themselves being managed by people who had no experience in healthcare, no knowledge of working with nurses, and no understanding of patients' needs, but they could do fantastic activity reports, or being managed by accountants who could do beautiful budgets and order stationery efficiently, but didn't understand what was required to discharge a patient to their own home. It was a disaster, and thankfully over a long time, many of these hospitals saw sense. But those days were better funded than now, and it's on the horizon again. Offer nurses a highly specialised place in the healthcare system, but reduce their power base, influence and numbers. I've also worked in a hospital, on a high dependency unit in the United Kingdom, where the patients were looked after by 6 unqualified carers and 1 registered nurse. The carers all used colour-coded OBS charts, and if the patient's blood pressure deviated above or below certain coloured lines, for example, they asked the nurse to review the patient. But where there were 6 nurses, there were 6 much cheaper carers and 1 highly specialised RN. And no offence to our brethren in theatres, but the introduction of operating department personnel is the very example of what I've discussed in this podcast, taking the word nurse out of the job title and filling the role with a cheaper or less industrially powerful option. And of course the perfect example these days is aged care. It's not uncommon now to work in a large aged care establishment where there is just 1 single registered nurse employed, working Monday to Friday day shifts, in a role called something like the aged care nurse consultant or a nurse manager. The rest of the roles are usually filled by far less qualified or even unqualified staff, undertaking jobs that were once part of the nurse's role and making decisions about wound care, mobility, incontinence, and deferring only to the nurse if they felt they need to. What I've been talking about today is something the philosopher Michel Foucault would call cultural imperialism. The need for nurses in the healthcare system is being changed for the worse by something as simple as changing a job title. If it doesn't say nurse, does it have to be filled by a nurse? Change a job title, you change identity. Change identity and you change the role of the incumbent. Change the role of the incumbent, and every opportunity is there to reduce the influence of a group of people in a given context. Do it smartly, and you can extinguish that identity entirely. Nurses need to get territorial. Fracture care is cheap, but it doesn't do those we are mandated to care for any good at all. This is the AusMed Handover Podcast. My name is Darren Wake, and thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to the channel for future episodes, and please feel free to leave your comments and feedback for us. We always welcome your opinion.